Hey y'all, welcome back to a very special episode of What Would Cherrick Do?
A Choose Your Own Adventure podcast, and this is a very special episode indeed.
Yeah, so we're taking a break from our normal Choose Your Own Adventure series.
Yeah, the original series by R.A. Montgomery. And Chad found something very special, just for me, actually. This past year on Valentine's Day, he said, "Hey, come out to my car. I got a special, surprise for
you." That sounds super creepy.
Oh, I know. But don't you worry, folks. It wasn't super creepy. It was actually super awesome. And yeah. He's like, "Here, happy Valentine's Day." Also, you know, like, we're not sweethearts or anything.
Right.
We just have a very strong bromance.
And know? I'm very into Valentine's Day in general. Like, it's a very
apparently big more thing. Than Christmas. Like,
yeah, it's a big thing with my family.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day has always been a big holiday.
So I go over there and I'm like, "Okay, what's up? I didn't get you anything." And he's like, "It's cool, here." And he hands me the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles Choose Your Own Adventure book, number one, The Valley of the Kings. And you probably don't know this about me because I just talk on this podcast and I'm just a voice without a face to many of you, perhaps. But I am a huge Indiana Jones fan.
This is one of the few times we really will part the kimono and give you a little bit of background
into ourselves. It's true. Yeah, no, this is
a special episode.
This is definitely something that's very close to my heart. I love Indiana Jones. I love the myth. I love the stories. I love the character. It's just wonderful. And so for Chad to have surprised me with this Indiana Jones Choose Your Own Adventure book, it was like the marriage of two wonderful and awesome things.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's like the traditional Choose Your Own Adventure, like, arc, if you will.
Yeah.
And then throughout the years, there have been several different variations of Choose Your Own Adventure books. The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, you know, Goosebumps was a big one in, the 90s.
Chad, maybe once we become, like, super great Choose Your Own Adventure podcasters, we'll just start our own series.
Shit. Write our own Choose Your Own Adventure books.
We will literally choose our own adventures.
No, we'll choose their adventures.
Right. But ours, too.
Like, yeah.
We know the adventures, and we know all of the endings.
This is a very, like,
All right. Well, we'll see what happens with that.
So, but yeah, so this is a book from the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. It's book number one.
Yeah, by Richard Brightfield. Apparently based off of one of the made-for-TV movies from the 90s that George Lucas did, the Young Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah.
Apparently loosely based off of one of those. So, yeah, something a little different and exciting today. Chad, just let them know a little bit of how you got started with these books.
You know, I think you're all probably well aware I grew up reading these books in my youth.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's where I got started.
Oh, okay.
You know, I read them growing up on the farm, but, you know, over the course of the years, I've had several different interactions with these texts.
Oh, wait, that wasn't a joke? Like, you actually read them growing up on the farm?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
I did.
Okay.
That's a true story.
On the farm.
On the farm.
Okay.
Yeah. But later in life, you know, I kind of carried these with me as, you know, I went throughout life. And I found myself backpacking through Europe.
Whoa.
Yeah, I spent a good year just kind of trekking through Europe, kind of taking odd jobs here and there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I couldn't really carry a lot of things, so I couldn't take a lot of books with me. I'm clearly an avid reader. But these books were really great because I could read them multiple times, you know, and have different endings and different choices. And I would share them with people I met, you know, in hostels and on the train and in different areas. And I remember one fellow, his name was Hans.
Ah.
Yeah. And I met him in the Pyrenees, actually. I was working there in a ski lodge.
No.
In the Pyrenees, yeah, one winter. And Hans and I, we just really connected over these texts.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's just a fond memory. I miss that guy. I love him.
But, okay, so what you're saying is I'm not your first Choose Your Own Adventure bromance.
You're my latest.
I don't know how to feel about that, but okay.
But my favorite.
Okay, well, you know, like, you didn't start a podcast with Han, so I feel a little bit better about that.
Well, Han, he couldn't, he had a
stutter. You know what, let's just move on. My mom read these books to me when I was a kid, and I've loved them ever since, so, yeah, we'll just scoot Hans right out of this conversation.
Yeah.
And keep moving forward. Though that was really cool, Chad. I did not know that you worked in the Pyrenees Mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's like nifty. In between Spain and France.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought they were on the moon. That's neat.
No, that's a different mountains.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't go to the moon. Well, not that time.
Right. I was going to say, I thought for sure you told me. Okay, anyway, that's too much detail. So,
but let's get into it. Let's jump right in. Skip the normal bullshit and let's just get into the text.
Well, I guess the really big question here, are we still Cherrick or are we Indy?
No, how? Oh.
Like I feel like we're young Indiana Jones.
I really don't want to take a break from
Cherrick.
But yeah, I think in this one I think the text will lend it. We've never read these.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's dive in and see
where we'll go. We'll catch you up. We'll let you know if we're Cherrick or if we are Indiana Jones. Maybe Cherrick is Indiana Jones.
He's a time-traveling warlock, and he's Indiana Jones.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy town.
All right. Okay. We'll be right back after these messages. Just kidding. There's no messages. Just a short...
Just a short break. It's like pause.
Yeah, it's going to be real fast. Right, it'll be like silence.
And then like 1001, 1002. Yeah. And then we'll be
back.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, in the preface of this book, they did say occasionally you would be making a choice.
Occasionally.
So after 12 pages of reading.
Which I guess you all don't normally know, but it's more like... 4 or 5, like maybe 6 pages.
Maybe 6. Like after 6 pages, we're like, ugh, where's the choice?
Right?
So it's been a little while.
It has been established. We are young Indiana Jones.
We are young Indy Jones. And,
son of Indiana Jones.
Son of Henry Jones.
Henry Jones.
And Anna Jones, our mother.
Okay.
Yeah. No, okay. Yeah. No, for sure, our father isn't called Indiana. We are Henry Jones Jr., but we go by Indiana.
Okay.
Apparently, from age 8 on.
Yeah.
At least. So, yeah. Apparently, this book is really, like, trying to be more educational. Throughout the story, there have been some really good details so far on the mummification process of the Egyptian pharaohs.
But we're traveling from the United States to Egypt on a streamliner.
So our father, Sean Connery, is teaching some lectures in Cairo, Egypt. And we're 8 years old, traveling with our parents, and this awful tutor that we picked up in England. I guess she's not really awful. We just don't like her because she makes us work all the time.
What's her name?
Miss Seymour. Yeah, so Miss Seymour is like... always got us doing work, barely any free time on this boat. Just lots of studies. And so then when we're at dinner with some fancy people and the captain he like asks us about our studies. He's like, "What have you been learning?" And so we're like, "Yo, we've been learning about mummies and how they rip their brains out through their nostrils
with a fork.
Yeah, and take out all their organs except for their heart and wash them out." And one by one, everybody leaves the dinner table. And we're like, "Yo, we just wanted to impart some wisdom on you. Like you asked. Yeah, for sure.
Like I learned it. Like now I'm telling you."
And then nobody wanted to hear it. And so they all left. And we went back to the room. Miss Seymour was like, "Well, you should have better manners than that. I can't believe." And we're like, "Yo, he asked." And you know what she said? She's like, "Well, you know what? We're going to study some more." So we got right back to it.
And, I think she was pissed and, like, really buckled down on
it. She's a little pissed, I think. But, yeah. You know, she's a little bit of a tightwad. So anyway, we finally arrive in Alexandria, Egypt, which is the port.
I feel like this was a day-by-day, hour-by-hour account of our journey thus far.
Being an eight-year-old indie, like, we are just trapped on this boat.
It's like, are we there yet?
Seriously. We cannot wait to get away. And finally, the boat docks. We all go up on deck with our items. We've got our satchel over our shoulder. What are you laughing at, Chad?
Yeah, coming up. No, keep going.
Okay. So anyway, we disembark from the boat. Oh, I think I know where you're going with this. We disembark from the boat. And immediately, like, we feel a tug on our shoulder and we look around.
No, wait a minute. What? Back up a little bit.
What?
Okay,
what?
So what?
Oh,
like,
oh,
what
did I skip the part you were looking for?
Like, where were, like, the people we saw?
All right, so we get off the boat and they, like, describe all of the different people and really specifically what kind of hats they're wearing.
Right, and some people were wearing fezes, like red fezes, right?
And some people were wearing what looked like upside down bowels.
Bowels, you say?
Bowels.
So that is not what it said. It said bowls. People were wearing hats that looked like upside down bowls. But as Eric is reading the text, he says that they looked like upside down bowels.
And
I lost my shit.
And then I quickly stopped and repeated, "No, no, I'm sorry. Bowls."
Like, what does an upside down bowel look like? And why would a hat be fashioned that way?
Look, the image that I had in my head, and I don't mean anything by this, was like a turban. Like, where it was, all, you know, it was almost like wrapped intestines around your head, man. Like, I feel like that's kind of what it would maybe look like. I don't know.
Anyway, that was a
flub.
Yeah. Okay. And, but what was the choice?
So anyway, as to where I was getting at, this little Egyptian kid or some little kid decides to steal our little satchel
which has
our books and all of the notes that we've taken so far on this journey, and so we have to decide in a split second. Do we call to our parents to help us out, or do we just chase after this kid ourselves? Chad, how do you feel?
I'm fucking chasing this kid.
I feel the same way.
I don't need Henry Jones's help for this.
Henry Jones Sr.
Senior.
Yeah, don't need that guy.
No, I got it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a kid, he's a kid. Like, I can get him. Yeah. Like, I can get this kid.
Definitely. We're not afraid of anything.
I'm offended that he, like, stole my backpack.
Right. Like, who does he think he is? Doesn't he know I am Indiana Jones?
I am Indiana Jones.
I am Indiana Jones.
Bitch.
You're going to steal my sack? No.
No.
All right.
Yeah, we're chasing after
it's,
him.
Like, it's just going to be a thing. No other option? Forget our parents. Forget Miss Seymour. We're doing this ourselves.
Let's roll.
Okay, well, let's just catch up here.
True to form.
And
a lot of reading happened.
Yeah, tons of reading. I think that's just going to be the norm for this book.
Probably.
It is super educational. We'll get to the really cool part about the educationalness of what we just read soon. So we decided to chase after the guy with our satchel, right?
Yeah.
So we're like, chase them through the streets, and we lose him. And we think to ourselves, oh, man, I'm never going to find him in this huge crowd. But then we do. We start chasing after him. We're like, oh, we're going to get you. We got you now. But then he sees us. And he runs up the gangplank onto this other ship that's docked at the harbor.
Yeah.
So we chase him up into the ship.
Like the cargo hold.
Into the cargo hold, absolutely. There's just bales and bales of hay everywhere. So we're like chasing them through these bales of hay. It's like a maze of hay, and we don't know what's going on. Or
tiny passages.
Right, yeah. And we're like, wait, if we're going to ever get a chance to catch this guy, we got to get up on top of the hay and jump over so we can look down.
Which is like a very Indiana Jones thing to do, I think. Like, I mean, my head, I'm picturing him running over the top of the bales of hay.
Age, yeah.
Like, looking down in the crevices for this guy. Like, I can see this happening in an indie movie.
It's like, you know, later in the 1950s when he's in this huge hangar because this evil Russian woman has him there, and he's like leaping over these beams in the ceiling that he should not be able to do because he's 75, but he does it anyway.
Spoiler.
Look, everybody's seen that movie. They know it's not nearly as good as the original trilogy. It's been almost a decade, people. Spoilers are not even a thing. Anyway, so now we know that this is where Indy gets all of his natural abilities. He just had them.
He learned them.
He had them, or all of it. Yeah, just an amalgamation.
We see the kid.
We see the kid, and he runs out of the cargo hold off of the ship. And we're like, shit! And so we try to turn around and change direction, but we do it too fast, and our foot slips out from under us, and we fall off of the large bale of hay, hit our head on the floor, and black out.
Yeah.
Quite conveniently.
This is where we get ourselves into a real pickle here.
So, see, like, in a normal story, like, if this were an indie movie, right, like, this would be the inciting action that then leads us into the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Whereas in this story, we wake up, we're bewildered, we feel the ship moving and pitching. Oh, crap, we're on it, it's moving.
We're at sea.
We're at sea. We go up, we go through the engine room, we find the higher decks. Some sailor finds us and is like, what the heck are you doing here?
And he takes us to the captain. I think this is the same boat we were on. I think it's the same captain that we came over with.
You think, oh, because he recognized us.
Yeah.
That's probably, that's a fair point.
Probably the same boat we kind of got back on.
What are you doing here? And he's like,
what are you doing here, Indy?
Funny story, dude. This is what happened. And the captain's like, hey, like, great job for trying to catch this dude yourself, but this sucks. Like, I don't know how we're going to talk to your family. They're probably worried. Yeah. And then it hits him. He's like,
oh, man.
But wait.
We had this new tech installed in England.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's called the wireless telegraph.
What's this you say? I thought telegraphs had to have wires.
What? So, the captain leads us down to this messaging station. He writes a short message to our father, Henry Jones Sr., that we're on the ship, headed to this completely other part of the country, or a different country, on the whole.
Right.
And so he gets this message, and the operator scans the message and starts tapping it, you know, Morse code, so like that's the part that we really learned about. That's why we were able to really just like show that to you.
We literally read all of that.
There were like paragraphs about the Morse code, really helpful stuff for us here in the 21st century.
Just text him, dude.
Like, Dad, I'm on a ship. Sorry, I'll see you later.
I'm on a boat.
I'm on a boat. Everybody look at me, because I'm Indy on a boat. I got no parents. I got no school teacher. I'm just sailing on this boat. Okay, it's gone downhill.
So Henry Sr. texts us back.
Yeah, he's like, you're on a boat. You're on a boat. I'm so glad to hear that you're not dead and on a boat.
It's exactly what he said.
He said,
when you get to the next port, take this like camel caravan over back across the desert. Oh, we skipped a part. So we get to the port. So he tells us all these things, like, get to the port, take the camel caravan, meet us in Cairo.
For sure, yeah.
1 month later...
It takes a whole month.
When we arrive at the port...
We are just in time to rejoin Miss Seymour and our parents for their journey back to the States. So our dad's already lectured. They've had their time in Cairo. We missed the whole thing.
The whole thing.
We were on the boat, being on the boat.
Yeah.
And, we missed it.
The end.
So.
The end.
Not a very exciting indie story.
No.
Thankfully, though.
We did make just the one choice.
We made just the one choice. So, we'll respond.
Yeah, we're going to go back. We're going to do
it. And we're going to do it the very un-Indiana Jones way and ask our parents for help.
Maybe we should keep that in mind.
I mean, we are just 8, man. We're not like fully grown Harrison Ford Indy Jones.
It's probably because we didn't have a whip.
Probably. Oh, well, because we haven't whipped ourselves in the train with a lion yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn. Well, we're going to go take the other one.
Okay. Well, here
we'll
we go.
See what happens.
We're jumping back, and we're going to ask our parents for help. Oh, where to begin?
I can't even tell you all the things
that
have happened.
So many details.
Like, too many.
There's a lot that is just really...
A whole tour of... I really want to like this book.
It's making it really difficult.
It's making it super hard.
I think we have to keep in mind that this book is written for like 8 to 10-year-olds. And this one takes that super seriously.
I think so.
Like, this one isn't just having to, you know, it's not here for a good time. It's here for educational purposes.
The history of Egypt.
Yeah, through the eyes of a young Indiana Jones, which is exciting.
A sadistic English schoolmarm.
Whoa. Okay, you're not wrong, but that's a little harsh. It seemed a little harsh there.
I don't like her.
Well, I mean, she's kind of a prude, but... Okay, anyway.
Attempt, Eric, to catch them up.
I will try the short version.
Please.
Okay, so we'll start from the beginning, again. Which doesn't even feel like the same story. So we went back, and we decided to tell our parents about our stolen book bag.
Yeah.
To which our father says... we'll never catch it in this crowd. Forget about it.
It's gone.
And we immediately just leave it behind.
Whatever.
Which is sad. But it's what we gotta do. So we get in these carriages, one for our bodies, one for our luggage. And we take them through the city to get out of Alexandria to get to Cairo, which is a few hours away. We finally get to Cairo after a long journey. And it's filled with, you know, people of all sorts of shapes and sizes and colors. And this was 3 paragraphs of all the different types of people and their skin
and
their hats.
And what kind of hats they were wearing and what color their clothes were and, like, what they had for lunch.
Just imagine a nice mosh of all sorts of ethnicities and Egyptians and Europeans and fancy diplomats and dirty peasants. You know, the usual stuff.
The usual.
Egypt, 1908.
We're in Cairo.
We all know what that looks like.
Yes. Who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly.
You need more, read this book.
Yeah, it's got plenty of description for you. So we finally get to our hotel, which is also super ornate and fancy, and our prudish school teacher comments about, oh, the wealthy and... All the hoity-toityness
like,
and
well-to-do.
Right,
like,
but
I
feel like
she
disapproves of our parents for some reason.
Oh, but she's just like, this is how the rich people live. Like, look at all of the cool things that you have.
And we're like, okay, look at you getting paid and taking a trip with us.
Anyway, she's like, let's go shopping. Like 27 pages later, she's
true,
like, let's
yeah.
go shopping.
She's like, I have a whole itinerary, but I think it would be fun to start with a tour of the...
Market,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so then the hotel manager, who's been dropping some eaves, is like, oh, take a guide. They'll be able to help you. And
we're kind of like, nee.
Yeah, it's like, we don't really want to... Okay, we'll take one.
And
it's shoved upon us.
No, we can take one.
Right, yeah, we don't even get the choice.
No, that would have been a great choice.
Yeah. So, anyway, we go to the market with our guide and Miss Seymour.
Yeah.
And we go through all the different sections. You know, like, there's the perfume section. And there's the
fruit market full of vegetables.
Piled high with vegetables. That was a sentence. They entered the fruit market with stands piled high with vegetables. And it was just like, what?
I think
like,
it was
wait,
the vegetable market,
wait a second.
Y'all.
It's the fruit... In Egypt, are fruit and vegetables the same thing?
Like a tomato.
Is that something that
tomatoes
we're learning?
Tomato's a fruit.
True.
That we call a vegetable.
True. Maybe it was just a market full of tomatoes and avocados?
Avocados, yeah. Also
yeah.
fruit.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Fun story.
Are avocados?
Completely,
oh, sorry.
Completely off track.
Yeah.
One time somebody asked me to bring fruit salad to like an event,
yeah.
and I brought salsa.
Yeah. Did you just bring salsa or did you and like chips. Bring some? Okay, you brought some chips too. Yeah. You were like, yeah, I brought some fruit and chips.
Yeah. Yeah, fruit salad and chips.
That's pretty clever.
Thanks. You guys can use that.
You're tricky.
If you learn nothing else.
Pro tip.
Pro tip.
Fruit salad.
That's
equals
a fun joke.
Salsa. It's true. I mean, yeah. That's really like, that's pretty sneaky.
I know.
Well done, Chad.
Thanks.
Well done.
I'm super smart.
So anyway, we took a gander at all these delicious looking vegetables. And smelled the perfumes. The
spices and perfumes.
And then Miss Seymour was so enamored with one of the perfumes that she bought one. And then quickly was inundated with offers from all of the other vendors. Like, ooh, buy this. Buy this. It's so good. Ooh, smell this. Taste that. Put this on your foot. You know, those sorts of things. And she was like, no, I've had enough. Let's get out of here. So
we get
like,
out of market.
Yeah, we're like trying to escape until something catches our young Indiana Jones ear. We're like, oh, what is this bewitching and wonderful melody? And the guide is like, well, it's a snake charmer, of course. And we're like, what?
Say what?
And the crowd parts perfectly so that we can see the snake and the man who is charming it. It's a cobra. Mm-hmm. And he's making the movements with the snake charmer. And we're like, oh, Miss Seymour, can we please go check out this snake? Because it's super cool. And I have a phobia of snakes, but I haven't yet come to that in my life. So let's go check it out.
Maybe this is when that started. Shit.
No, Chad, have you not seen The Last Crusade? We clearly know when his phobia of snakes starts.
Well,
come on, man.
Okay.
Like, maybe this is the very beginning
like the
of
precursor.
It? Yeah, like, okay, the cobras are pretty terrifying, but.
Yeah.
Never mind. Okay. So.
We're going to try to not make this like us just breaking down the actual Indiana Jones
movies.
Yeah, that's
very easily for me to do. So I will not go where my brain was telling me to go. And instead I will say, hey, we're almost to the end to where we get to make the decision.
Yeah.
So Miss Seymour is like, okay, we'll go check out the snake. And so we're getting through the crowd until everyone comes back together, almost like they're against us. And we get pushed away from Miss Seymour and our guide.
Oh,
except
man.
Then our little 8-year-old brain is like, hey, now's our chance. If we want to get away.
Like ditch this school, Marm, and the guide,
and
go have some actual fun for a change.
Right. And we have the perfect excuse. Oh, we got lost.
Oh,
the crowd. We didn't know what was going on.
I couldn't help you.
But we, Indiana Jones, as the time-traveling warlock we are right now, know that last time we left our adults, it didn't end very well.
Well, I mean, it didn't... Yeah.
I mean, it didn't end badly, but it didn't end the way that we wanted.
No, we had no.
It was not the desired effect.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So our choice is if we decide to sneak away in the crowd, turn to page 79. Mm-hmm. If we decide to stay with Miss Seymour and the guide, turn to page 48.
I'm so over Miss Seymour. Like, I don't even care. I want to sneak away so much.
I mean, I'm 100% for it. I feel like the story will be so much more fun if we do. We're Indiana Jones. Even though we're 8, we know what's up.
Allegedly.
Sure, it didn't turn out well last time, but I mean...
It didn't.
We're still awesome. And
it's
8.
True. And 8.
And curious.
Yeah. You know what? Curiosity did.
Did it kill the cat?
It did kill the cat.
Yeah, thanks.
That's a good running gag.
That's a great running gag. Now, the end of that joke will be the next episode. And you'll be like, hey, you know what they said about curiosity? And then I'll say, it killed the cat. And you'll be like, no!
It killed Indiana Jones.
Oh,
snap. Yeah.
Oh, I hope not.
Let's hope not. Well,
I don't want to die.
Should we run away, though?
I mean, I don't
know. What would Cherrick do? Like, we're kind of Cherrick and Indy.
It's true.
So, like, what would Cherrick do?
What would Chindy do?
What would Chindy? Chindy Jones.
Chindy Jones.
Wait.
Chindy Jones.
Chindy Jones.
Chindy Jones. There we go.
That was a good one.
Yeah, we nailed it.
Now that we've centered ourselves. in the character.
Yeah, I'm. You know what? I'm up for running away again.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, let's do it.
I just don't like this. I don't even know what her name is. I mean,
if she's got the whole itinerary, she's just like, ugh.
Days like, what's of next?
Boredom. School ahead. Lessons. Right. Ugh.
Ugh. Or like maybe she goes and takes us to see mummies.
You might as well just shoot me now. I can't imagine. She said, I have an itinerary, but first I thought it might be fun to go out and check out the market. We're going to be stuck inside the rest of the time. Ugh. Let's get out of here now.
Let's get
fun
out
while
of
we
here.
Can. All right.
Let's run away.
We're going to ditch the school teacher of ours.
Run away. Run
and
away.
Turn to page 79.
I'm so over this whole book. The entire book.
So,
how many choices have we made?
Two. And we're sitting
like
at...
Like, we made one twice, and then we made another
such
one.
Such a long time. Such a long time.
And then we read
and then,
for
yeah,
25
we, so,
minutes.
So we... Yeah.
I don't even think I could tell you everything that happened. It wasn't even that much.
No. I'm gonna tell you what happened. This is what happened. We decided to run away from our school teacher...
Right, we did.
We got lost on a maze
of
streets and alleyways.
Which is fine.
We found this amazingly beautiful garden with an apartment up top. We decided to go knock on this door. Be like, hey, maybe you can help us find our way back because we're stupid and I got lost. And we met this awesome guy whose name was Gamal. And he was super nice to us. And he was like, hey, yo, let me show you the way back. So he does.
And
we get to the market.
There was like 6 pages on how...
And we like...
Like, the Quran is the same as the Bible.
Oh, definitely, yeah. There was a huge discussion about the Quran and the Bible and all of its similarities and heaven and hell, which is really strange. And then we get to the market, and we can't find Miss Seymour, so then we're like, hey, where's my hotel? And he's like, hey, I'll just take you there. So then we go to the hotel, and we're like, hey, come inside. He says, hey, I can't. I'm Egyptian in Sicily, but they don't want me in there, even though it's Egypt. And we're like, we don't understand because we're 8 years old. And then a carriage pulls up with our father.
Dad,
it's Miss Seymour. Everyone's
Seymour.
There, so excited to see us.
They're kind of pissed.
Our new friend Gamal is apparently also a teacher of medieval history. So our dad and he have tons to discuss and they do over dinner. And then all of this has nothing to do with what happens next because we just leave to go on another ship to go to Karnak.
It's a river, like a river cruise,
like
up the Nile.
Like a 2-week river cruise up the Nile to get
like
to these ruins, which sound really epic
like
and
pyramids,
cool. Like, yeah, like things are going to finally happen.
Like here, we're finally getting to like the cool part of the story
Where
we're going to
Miss Seymour
like
gets off our back a little bit, tells us to, hey, just
we
have a vacation.
Like a girlfriend.
Amanda, who's super
like
sweet.
Like a vacation girlfriend, Amanda.
Yeah, she's not really interested in Egyptology, but
like
we really try
like
to get her interested.
She's into books.
Yeah, kind of a snob.
Yeah.
But by the end of her 2-week journey, she's like, hey, thanks for all of that awesome information
yeah.
you gave
like,
me about
oh,
Egypt.
Sweet. Can I call you?
Right. We're like, hey,
and
look,
like,
we just read 10 pages. Can we get a little nookie? Like, no? Okay,
none
fine.
Of it.
So
no,
we get
leaves.
Off the boat. We go to this these ruins. Apparently they're awesome, and there's pillars everywhere.
The book tells us.
The book tells us in a paragraph about the ruins that
like,
we've gone to
visit.
Like,
we just went through, like, 4 pages on, like, Islam versus Christianity.
Well, we just, like... So, we get to the
and
ruins.
We get to... Freaking
we're done.
Pyramids.
We go home. We leave Miss Seymour behind. We go back to the States. We're at home in school. We're itching for more adventures, but we'll just have to wait. Obviously, because we're Indiana Jones, and everybody and their mom knows that we have tons of adventures coming, but they just won't let us have one here.
Like, in this book.
Like, all I want is to have an epic Indiana Jones adventure.
Yeah.
And we just,
and we
we're
just,
getting.
We couldn't have one.
Oh my goodness. It's so frustrating. And the most frustrating thing is we read 12 pages only to find at the end. Like there was so much in there that we did
like,
not even need to read.
We made a choice and then it was like 8 pages later we died.
Like why did we meet this guy Gamal if he doesn't have anything to do with whatever we were going to do?
Absolutely nothing.
There was no reason to have the discussion. There was no reason to go to these flipping... Oh. All right, well, this book is very, very frustrating.
We have
one more. We can go back.
No.
You don't even want to. You're done.
I'm over. I'm done.
But what happened? No, wait, hold on. Now.
No, we did that.
We did it once?
No, we chose... Oh, you're saying we could go back and choose...
to stay with Miss Seymour and the guy.
Like, more boring things happen?
Look.
Okay, I mean, we can use this.
The one time we're reading this book.
It is the one time.
I just want to see if something exciting will happen.
It's probably the only other choice that can be made.
Probably.
It will probably lead to the third choice that exists in the book.
Probably. And then we'll choose that one wrong and be done.
Okay.
All right.
We'll go back.
We're going to go back.
For the record, like, you guys, like, it's hard for us to tell when we're recording this, like, how much y'all get to listen to versus, like, how much we have, you know, been reading.
Mm.
But I feel like we're at the timer here. Like, we've been recording for, like, an hour, 15.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And you've probably been listening for, like, 7.5 minutes. So, just so you know, like, when I'm getting, like, a little annoyed by how long this is taking between choices,
it's taking a long time.
It's taken a solid, we're not exaggerating, 20 minutes of reading to get to a choice. Okay, but here we go.
For the next 20 minutes.
We're gonna go back and, like, stay with the prude Helen Seymour and see what boring shit she has for us this time.
Wow, you remembered her first name. Well done, Chad.
Well, I've heard it 57 times in every other paragraph.
All right. Well,
I know what she ate for breakfast.
Oatmeal! Oh.
Was it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I made that up. Okay, but here we go.
Here we go. Chad, I have a new theory about this book.
Yes?
I think, and I might be wrong here, every single one of our choices involves staying or leaving our adult supervision.
Yeah.
And every time we've left our adult supervision so far, it has come to an end.
Yes.
Do you think the writer of this book is trying to subliminally say something to little children?
That, like, you should stay with your mom and,
like,
dad.
Trust your adults. They're responsible. Do not go off by yourself because it will not end well. Or even if it does end well, it will not end the way that you hope or want it to. So trust your elders. Yeah, I'm kind of really getting that vibe.
Potentially. Okay, but let's fill them in on what happened.
So here's what happened.
We had our last choice.
We decided to stay with Miss Seymour, and immediately...
Like, cool shit happens.
Like, immediately she pulls us out of the market and is like, let's go to the pyramids.
Let's go to the pyramids. You're like, fuck, that's all we've been wanting to do.
Right, like, why didn't you just tell us that earlier? So we make our way over to the pyramids, grab some camels... Get over there. We have a guide.
She's a real tightwad.
Someone's angry at us for not getting as much money as they wanted. We head up the side of the pyramid with this guide. He's spouting off all of these historical facts.
Pages of facts we already know.
We already know. We've been doing studies on this because of Miss Seymour and all this stuff.
All the things.
So... we keep going up the side of the pyramid. It's really awesome. We learn all sorts of things about this pyramid and the other two pyramids and the pharaohs and
the
cool
Sphinx.
Things like that. And the Sphinx and all their fancy names.
Yeah.
And then we arrive at the, I guess, like the doorway in the side of the pyramid leads into the burial chamber.
Of the pharaoh,
which
that
I guess is
super
just
cool.
Super awesome. And Miss Seymour's like, let's just go up to the top and back down.
Because it's getting late.
We don't want to be here past dark. And this dude's it's really cool in there.
Listen, it's awesome.
And
you have to go.
So, like, yeah, they get in an argument. And while they're arguing, we hear a... So we turn around, and there's this little kid, right? And he looks at us.
For a minute, I thought it was going to be the same fucker who stole our backpack.
I agree. I thought it was going to be that guy, too. But that was in a completely different city. So
yeah.
We both not even think about that one. But anyway, this kid's like, hey, you, I know a secret passageway that no one else knows about. You want to come? So that's our choice.
Stay with... the school marm, Helen
Seymour. Or decide to go with this boy and find the secret passageway that he knows about and that no one else knows about.
Do you want to know what I want to do and then what I think we should do?
I mean, I think I might know both of those already, but go for it.
I want to sneak away with this little kid.
Absolutely.
So much.
Absolutely.
Mostly because I'm just so over, like, this, like, page about page diatribe on the history of all this bullshit.
But, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm pretty over it, if you can't tell.
Well, I mean, obviously, one of them sounds like much more fun than the other one, but we've already learned twice that it doesn't necessarily turn out.
But I feel like if we sneak away from Helen, one, it'll just end, and two, like, if we stay with her, something pretty cool is probably going to happen next.
Probably. Probably.
Because I think your theory is completely right. Like, they're subliminally trying to tell kids that you should, like, stay with your teacher.
Definitely.
On a
every choice. Has been that. Stay or go. Stay or go. Tell someone or go. Tell someone or run. Go.
So, I want to run so much. I feel like we should stay, though.
It's tough being responsible.
Chirik is much more honorable than we are.
That's true.
As previously established.
This is also true. All right.
So he's much more truthful. He's
so
much
maybe
more
we've
honorable.
Learned. Are we staying?
I think we should stay, unless we just go, so that way we could be done reading this book.
I mean, that secret passageway sounds super cool.
It's probably just, like, not even a real thing, and he just, like, takes our clothes and leaves us there.
He's just thinking he just leaves us naked in the pyramid?
Yeah. But the snakes.
That doesn't sound good.
Like, it's probably just, like, a scam.
Probably. It's got, I mean, he is in a touristy spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, let's not trust this kid.
Okay.
I don't know. Let's keep on going with our school mom.
Let's stick with Helen. Like, she's kind of growing on me because she, like, did take us to the pyramids, which was pretty cool of her.
All right, well, we'll be a good kid, and we'll turn to page 57. So much. As always. Chad, I don't even know, like, where did we go back to start?
It was the snake charmer.
No. It was the pyramid. We chose not to go to the secret passageway.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so, we declined the young lad's offer to check out a secret passageway. And went with Miss Seymour up to the top of the pyramid.
Yeah.
Where we sat by ourselves and got a great view of the surrounding areas. It was nice.
Like, she's...
Yeah, she's not so bad.
Yeah.
She's not so bad.
She's pretty great.
Yeah, she's as far as a teacher goes, she's pretty good. Aw. Yeah. Was that your... Yeah.
That was my Sean Connery.
Yeah, nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been doing a very poor Sean Connery impression every time the father has a line.
It's been great.
Chad has really been laughing, which really, you know, has been wonderful, but it's truly, truly atrocious.
When I'm not, like, rolling my eyes out of the back of my head because I'm so annoyed with this book.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's been a rough one for Chad. I've just been reading word after word after word after word after word. So we get to the top of the pyramid. It's beautiful. It's awesome. We decide it's late. We start going down. We get to, like, 3/4 of the way down, and we notice our freaking guide and camels is leaving us.
Yeah, that we stiffed.
Yeah. And we're like, wait, come back. But they can't hear us. And by the time we get down to the bottom of the pyramid, they're gone. It's almost nightfall. We're screwed. We can't walk back to town. We get super lost. And all of a sudden, this strange, shadowy figure starts coming up out of the distance.
On a motorbike.
And we're like, oh god, he's coming to murder us. Not true. You will never guess who it is.
Is it T.E. Lawrence?
It's T.E. Lawrence! Man, and just so you all know, I'm definitely picturing him as Peter O'Toole. That's just in my head, and that's who it is. And it's great. Like, if there was one thing... And one person that I would have loved to have met at the base of the hugest pyramid in Egypt, it would have been Peter O'Toole as T.E. Lawrence.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. And also, by a strange coincidence, T.E. Lawrence and Miss Seymour know each other from their time in school.
Cambridge.
Cambridge, yeah. So small world. And Lawrence.
And he's a big fan of our dad.
Big, yeah, that's right. He's read all of our dad's books. Yeah, so small world. Like, just when we needed him, there he is. Strange that this wasn't in the film adaptation from the 60s.
No.
He didn't really get into the whole T.E. Lawrence meeting Indiana Jones thing. Strange.
Weird. He's like, oh, hey, I remember you from that time at the pyramids.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, or something. You know, you know, something. You would,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But
a little inconsistent.
So he takes us to like his nearby farmer friends, and we sit and we have a discussion. The discussion actually circles back to God and death and what happens after life. So maybe the discussion with Gamal was really just the prep discussion for talking with T.E. about the spiritual side of things.
Technically, we haven't had that discussion.
Ah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, we died that time.
I see what you mean. Okay, so just lots of discussions about life and afterlife.
Life and death and heaven and hell.
Mummies, all sorts of things. Wow.
Anyway.
Very, very deep stuff. Yeah.
So we have dinner.
T. Lawrence and Miss Seymour start quoting really deep passages from their favorite poets. Dinner is delicious. And then after pages and pages of a lot of words that we're skipping over because they're not terribly important. T.E. Lawrence stands up and it's like, you know, midnight, and he says, hey, the moon's about to come up and it's going to be super beautiful. You want to go for a moonlit walk? And Miss Seymour's like, no, I'm so tired. Oh, I couldn't possibly. And we're like, hey, maybe. So if we want to go on a walk in the desert with T.E. Lawrence, turn to page 95. If we decide to go to sleep, turn to page 24. And I feel like I kind of want to go for a walk with T.E. Lawrence.
Yeah, that's where I feel like if we go to sleep, like, then we wake up the next day, like, we go back to Cairo,
right.
We go home.
Like, you don't turn down a walk in the moonlight with T.E. Lawrence.
You don't.
You don't.
Not Teddy.
No. Not Teddy Lawrence. Ted.
Ted.
Teddy.
Teddy. Anyway.
So here we go.
So, yeah, we're going to go on a walk.
We're going on a walk. A midnight stroll. Here we are. Here Who we would go. Have ever thought?
I'm going to try to get more into this book this time.
I really hope that you would.
I'm getting pretty annoyed with it.
Can you tell our lack of excitement and summarization has really collapsed?
Yeah. Like, we're just not as engaged with this book as we have been, like, past books.
I think Chad made the comment, we're going to read all 111 pages of the 111 pages in this book.
It's so, literally entirely possible.
There's a good chance.
Okay,
there's
well, here chance. It goes.
Here we go, folks. Here we go.
Okay.
All right, folks. So now we're really booking. And by booking, I mean we're making great choices, but still reading 12 pages every time. So,
it's entirely too much reading.
It's so much. It's just... And now they're going over the same things that they've said in previous... parts.
But were there the parts that we read and then didn't read?
Probably, yeah. I don't know. I can't I'm really having a hard
anymore.
Time keeping this straight. I think the last choice we made was to go out into the desert.
On the midnight stroll.
Yeah. Which we did decide to do.
Yep. It was cool.
Oh my, was it a lovely stroll.
Yeah.
We went out there for a walk and T.E. was right. It's just a strange, surreal experience. Then Miss Seymour got really tired, so we all took a little break skis on the side of a sand dune. And then she was like, oh my god, what's that in the distance?
And it was a pack of hyenas, and then we all got eaten and we're dead.
No, that's wishful thinking,
Damn.
Chad. It was just a caravan of camels and donkeys. And T.E. Lawrence went over there and convinced them to give us the donkeys so that Miss Seymour and we could go back and get some solid sleep. Mm-hmm. And T.E. is just going to be like rocking it out in the desert. He's like, look, I'm going to stay out here a while, keep walking, I'll see you in the morning. So we go back and fall asleep.
And then a mummy.
No. No, Chad. Up. No. No. Do you think? No. This story is not that exciting. Look. This is very educational and serious storytelling right here, Chad. There's no living mummies.
Okay.
This is Indiana Jones, Chad. What do you think? They're like spirits and ghosts and things that can melt people's faces?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, right on.
That's pretty much what I was expecting.
Okay. Well, I was kind of expecting that too, but I guess
Pits
maybe
snakes,
that's a bit much for
like
8-year-olds.
Like running away from a giant boulder.
Yeah. Getting your heart ripped out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those things. Epic, monkey brains.
Epic minecart chases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We went on a donkey ride and a walk in reverse order.
But bro, that walk was at midnight in the desert.
Oh, snap.
I feel like I would really love that.
No, it is pretty cool. I mean, we do that epic. At home. We do that at home at my dad's on the farm.
Farm in the desert?
No, it's in the Midwest. But we go on these like midnight hikes like through the hills and stuff.
Okay, that still sounds pretty epic, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like hiking in any way, shape, or form. Anyway, they're hiking, we're hiking, we go to bed, we wake up, breakfast is there, T.E. comes in, fresh face, just ready to go. Embracing the
Which
day.
Which is peculiar, but we don't really address it.
I mean, he was always a strange man. He probably just took some strange drugs in the desert. And then
that's probably it.
He's still tripping. And so he did some peyote. He came back. And he decides that we're all going to go into town. And we're going to meet up with our parents because they're probably worried sick about us. So we all go back into town, get to the hotel. Our parents are like, oh my goodness, you're alive. We're so happy. T.E. Lawrence recognizes our dad. Our dad recognizes T.E. Lawrence. And they're like, oh, pat on the back, pat on the back. Good show, chum. You're so smart and knowledgeable. Yes, yes. They're both well-respected, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Also by coincidence, our group and T.E. Lawrence are both headed up the river to Luxor in the morning.
We, of course, are traveling by a luxurious riverboat.
Naturally.
That I feel like our character has already been on when the story ended once.
Well, you know, two or three times.
This was the one with, like, the girl, and then, like, we just went home after that.
Yeah, yeah.
This was that boat.
Yeah. So this is that boat, but that boat at a different boat time.
Yeah, because it's a different page.
Different boat time, different boat channel. And
okay, but T.E. is going on a much more interesting...
T.E.'s like, I've got my own trip booked. It's on like a cargo boat, essentially, like no really passengers. But if young Indy here would like to come with me, I'm sure that can be arranged. And so here we are thinking, oh, maybe now is a good time to get away from Miss Seymour and our parents.
And our parents.
And T.E.'s a really kind of cool guy.
Run or stay.
It's true, but this is different. This is like
both with adults.
And they know that we're going with
T.E. And they know each other, and they know where we're going and how we're getting there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I feel like we gotta
hang out. Much more responsible.
We gotta hang out with T.E. Lawrence.
Who wouldn't?
Seriously. Like, we might only be 8, but we totally know that this guy's a badass and that he's going to help shape our future.
Who wouldn't want to hang out with T.E. Lawrence?
I mean, really, this is just starting off on the right foot. Like, if we rode with Pancho Villa later and getting in with the Nazis, like, we're just, like, we have just from the beginning been destined to meet up with these rad historical figures.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Hitler, who wasn't necessarily rad. I'm not trying to say that. But some of the other figures, pretty rad.
Yeah.
Although Indy did get a signature, a autograph from Hitler, so that's kind of...
You're getting a little off track.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
let's bring it back to the text.
So anyway, in this book, the choice that we have is to go with T.E. Lawrence up the river by the cargo boat, go to page 35, or stay with our parents and Miss Seymour, barf. On the riverboat, turn to page 100.
Let's go with T.E. Lawrence.
Did you get that from my barf comment?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I was hoping you'd pick that up.
I did. It was subtle.
Yeah.
But I got it.
You know, I really tried to like go under my breath, like, oh, this is
barf.
Yeah. It's really real subtle. Yeah. You're welcome.
No, I think let's go with T.E. Lawrence and let's see what happens.
All right, we're going to follow T.E. Lawrence and his beautiful blue eyes on the boat. And
that's fine.
It's fine.
Just a little update.
It's Peter.
Just a little update, y'all. I mentioned earlier how we had been recording for like an hour and 10 minutes and you're probably listening to like 8. We're at 2 hours.
This is by far the longest podcast we've recorded.
2 hours, and it's probably like the longest one we've recorded and the shortest one you'll have to listen to.
Because all of our decisions are so short. We've been reading and reading and reading. Okay, let's just move on. Let's just get through it.
Anyway, go. Indie special, y'all.
We're going to do it. Excited. It's special. Chat's pumped. I'm still pumped. We're getting through this damn book. We're turning to page 35. We're going up the river with T.E.
Should I put on a cup of coffee or something? Because I feel like this is going to be a long night.
It could extend a couple more hours indeed, Mr. Chad.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Folks, as we were saying very recently here, we had been recording for 2 hours, and we were both quite weary of of poor young Indy Jones and all of the wonderful things that he was learning on his adventure. So we decided...
We were going to take a little break.
Yeah,
so
we decided to just be like, you know what?
A little time out on this book. Yeah. We're going to rest up. We're going to come back at it.
And we're going to be refreshed.
Fresh ears and you know, fresh minds.
So it's been a solid month.
It's been a solid month since we picked up this book.
So
we've recorded like
a couple.
Three or four other books.
And every time we were like, we'll save. We'll keep saving that one for later.
But we're going to finish it right now. Damn it.
Can you tell how excited we are, folks? This indie special has turned so special.
Special's not the word I would have chose.
Well, Chad, you got it for me as a present, and damn it, we're going to finish it, man.
Worst decision I've made to date.
Well, that was a really nice thought. So
I could have just actually bought you actual Indiana Jones would have been...
That would have been great.
Like the actual whip used in Last Crusade.
Oh, bull whip. Yeah. Then I could learn how to whip things.
Whip it good.
And maybe whip my own chin and fashion myself a Harrison Ford scar. But that's just a thought. Anyway, folks.
We are going... If it's the last thing I do this entire year, we're going to finish this book tonight.
We're going to finish it right here, right now.
If it takes another 3.5 hours.
We're going to do it.
I really hope it doesn't.
I don't think it will, but I feel like we've already read a solid half of this book.
How can it?
Yeah. So, we're jumping back in. We have just decided to take the boat upriver with T.E. Lawrence instead of our parents and Mrs. What's-her-butt.
Which I feel like we decided because usually when we don't go with our guardian, bad things happen. And that's probably my motivation.
Yeah, you think
so? Kill us sooner.
But like, we still got T.E. I feel like he's a good companion.
Damn it.
And he's much more interesting than our parents and What's-her-butt, so...
Okay.
So, folks, here we are. I'm going to jump back in, keep reading. So we'll catch you on the flip side. Okay.
Well?
We're back to reading, folks.
I feel like we read for a good 15, 20... I drank 2 beers. That's what happened.
Chad, it was 13 minutes. You're being a little dramatic.
I drink fast.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so.
We get on the boat with T.E. Lawrence, and we head up the river.
Yeah.
And what could have been 2 sentences was 3 pages. It's fine.
This is just, it makes me appreciate R.A. Montgomery so much.
Chad, we're learning so much about Egyptian culture. I mean... The description of the people along the riverbank and the ruins and the palm trees and T.E. Lawrence's
the
stories.
And
I mean,
the mountains.
The coil of rope that we slept on for 6 days on this boat. What a journey, am I right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. T.E.'s at the bow of the boat, sounding in the water so that we don't hit any sand.
Masterfully written text.
Just really intriguing. So we get...
Captivating.
We get to our destination. And one of T.E. Lawrence's good friends, Howard Carter, is there with his buddy. And they have recently been excavating a tomb in the Valley of the Kings. Which, by the way, T.E. told us all about.
Yeah.
So don't you worry about it. There's about 50 pharaohs or people buried in the Valley of the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And they started burying them in a valley because pyramids were just too darn obvious. And they kept getting robbed.
Say what?
Like, oh, what's this big triangular pyramid-shaped structure sticking out of the ground? Could it be a tomb? Yeah, so good thing they figured that one out.
I would build a pyramid and then fill it with horse manure.
Joke's on them?
Yep.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, you thought you were going to rob something really good.
No. Nope.
Instead, you just got all the stinky.
Yeah.
That's solid. That's funny. That's good.
Totally
that's
back good. To the future, that guy.
Like laughing at that dude in the afterlife. That's what you're doing. Solid. Yep. So we go with Howard Carter and all his work buddies, and we go to the Valley of the Kings where they're digging in a tomb, and they find this really sweet piece of pottery or something that has the seal of Tutankhamun on it, and
they're all
really, really excited because his tomb hasn't been discovered yet.
You know, I got, honestly, Chad, like, I got kind of into this when they started talking about King Tut business.
I mean, I feel like Egypt does have a lot of really neat history and a lot of really cool myth about it.
Yeah.
I just wish that this book helped it be more exciting about that myth and
true.
And stuff.
Okay, but what actually happened?
So
nothing. But go ahead, tell them.
So these workers aren't down there working, and the lead foreman's like, "Why aren't you working, dudes?" And they're like, "There's a curse. This is cursed." And he's like, "Rubbish. You're all idiots. Go keep working." And so Howard Carter comes back, and he's like running the whole thing, right? This Carter dude. And he says, "Hey, lead foreman," whose name was Rashid, by the way. This guy's name's Rashid. He's like, "Hey, go keep investigating the Valley of the Kings. See if you can kind of see anything about Tutankhamun's tomb. Like, see what's up there."
Because we found a thing. We found a thing.
Oh, they found a secret passageway.
A shard.
Oh, well, I already told about the shard. The shard with the seal of Tutankhamun on it.
No, I don't think we said that.
Yeah, I did, because that's what got you excited when you said you were interesting when they started talking about Tutankhamun.
Sorry, I tuned out. It happens a lot.
Chad, you really got to hang in with me here, otherwise we're just going to go in circles and it's going to be twice as long as it should be.
I got it. I'm in.
All right. So, we're talking
totally
about the shard.
Focused, 100%.
Rashid is ordered by Carter to go out and kind of just scope out the Valley of the Kings, which they don't have permission to dig in yet.
Yeah, we can't dig yet, but he's like scouting
he's
mission.
He's confident that we're going to get permission soon. But they're also going back into the tomb and excavating the second chamber, which really sounds kind of intriguing.
Of like this lesser known noble...
Right, yeah.
Amenhotep.
Yeah, Amenhotep, yeah, absolutely.
See, I was paying attention.
You were paying attention. Well done, Chad. You have redeemed yourself. So all we have to decide is if we want to go with Rashid to the Valley of the Kings, or if we want to stay and see the opening of the tomb. Chad, any preferences? Because you're so interested?
I want to go see King Tut. I want to see King Tut. I want to go to the Valley of the Kings.
I want to go to the Valley.
I want to see King Tut.
But what if there's actually like a curse
in the valley?
Yeah, well, no, in this chamber, in this.
Well, if there's a curse, we definitely don't want to be there when they trigger it.
I mean, do you want to die or not, Chad?
Oh, good point. If we die,
then
I don't
done.
Have to read this book anymore.
Yeah, you see.
Ooh.
Just things to think about.
But they really hooked me with this King Tut business. He's super cool.
I'm down to go to the Valley of the Kings. I think either way, it sounds like fun.
I don't remember. It's been a month. Have we decided, do we have one more respawn? Which might be complete crap if we do.
I don't know if we do, honestly. Because I feel like, didn't we talk about, like, every time that we went away from our
so
leader?
We, like, ran away in the market.
Right.
And we... story ended.
Yes. And then I think we ran away again.
Remember, because we got trapped on the boat.
Solidifying.
For like 4 months.
Yeah. And we traveled up the river. So we definitely, it was twice
this
solidified
last,
that we...
This is our last.
Yes, this is it.
Run
this
through.
Is our last one. So whatever we come to, we're done.
the selfish choice for Chad would be to, like, try to open this dude's tomb to try to see if there's a curse so we could die and stop reading.
But you know this is Indiana Jones, right? So, like, this has been very... Chad. This has been very fact-based so far. Chad
being annoyed.
I really don't think that there's going to be a curse in this tomb. Everything about this book tells me there's not going to be a curse in this tomb.
Or there is going to be a curse in that tomb.
No.
We have to run away from a giant rolling rock.
See, that sounds exciting. There's that part of me that's like, it could be something like that. But this book is so grounded in fact and in history that I just don't know if it's going to get that silly.
I think that we should go try to find King Tut's tomb.
In the Valley of the Kings.
Like, if yes. we find King Tut's tomb at the end of this 4.5-hour read-through...
Worth it.
Completely worth it.
Fortune and glory.
Yeah. We discovered King Tut's tomb. I don't even know the man who did, but it's going to be us. Cherrick Sandman. No. Young Indiana Jones.
Isn't it Howard Carter? Isn't Howard Carter the guy who discovers Tutankhamun's tomb?
Did he steal our thunder?
I think this is the... See, I feel like that's why we're meeting this guy. This is the guy who actually discovered it.
Oh, okay. I don't know the name of the man.
I'm pretty sure. I'm like 100%, not 100% sure. But I feel like that's the truth.
Should we ask Siri?
Probably.
Okay.
Hey, Siri.
Hey, Siri. Hey, Maverick. Hey, who discovered King Tut's tomb?
Let me think. Okay. I found something on the web about who discovered King Tut's tomb. Check it out.
I am checking it out, and it is Howard Carter.
I thought so. Yeah. Nice. Solid. Thank you, Siri. Okay. So, what if this is his tomb, bro? What if the tomb's right here and they just think it's someone else, but it's actually his?
That would be super tricky of King Tut.
Because they found that seal of his.
Next to this lesser known Amenhotep's tomb.
And they think it's nothing, but maybe it's something.
I feel like I don't remember anything about the discovery of King Tut's tomb. I've seen the exhibit. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've seen, like, either the sarcophagus or, like, a replica of said sarcophagus.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's...
What do you think? I mean, I'm very into this King Tut storyline.
I feel like what I remember of King Tut... For some reason, and I don't know if this is true, but that he was buried in an antechamber off of something else. I feel like that's true. And I feel like this antechamber could be the chamber that they're going to open right now. My brain might be making that up, but I feel like I know I watched some sort of documentary at some point when I was a kid. And I feel like they found his tomb when they were least expecting it.
So not like, let's go look where all the other pharaohs are buried.
Exactly. Like, he was actually a tricky mofo, and he buried himself very, very secretively.
Okay.
I think we stay.
I think we stay.
I feel like we should stay with the cool people. Like, Rashid seems like a good guy, but we can be here hanging out with T.E.
Rashid did not discover King Tut's tomb.
No. Howard Carter did.
Yeah. I say we stay where Howard Carter is for the rest of this book. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
We are his
I hear you, Chad.
Freaking shadow.
Okay. We are deciding to stay. And we're turning to page 13.
Okay.
We'll catch you guys in 15 minutes. Peace. Buddy, we made it.
We did it.
We fucking did it. Wow.
Woo.
So it wasn't...
It really had me on the ropes
it
there
It wasn't
for a little
quite
bit.
What we expected, but it was pretty close. I feel like they really could have brought it home and have made it what we thought it was going to be.
Yep.
But, again, maybe that would have been too much for this very realistic.
Indiana Jones present at the discovery of, you know, the tomb of King Tut?
I mean, I guess not. But he was present at the discovery of Amenhotep.
Yep.
So, folks.
Spoiler.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. We went down to the tomb, and we learned a little bit about what you did when you died and the Egyptian culture.
And all the Egyptian, like, death gods.
You went to Osiris and the Anubis creatures and blah, 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 blah. And your heart and your feather weighed, and you put on a scale and a foot and a crow. And none of that actually was part of it, but...
A heart and a feather.
Yeah, on a scale, etc. Yeah. So, we finally get to the door, to the second chamber, and we open it with some pry bars and green...
Poison gas!
Green gas starts emitting from the chamber, and Howard Carter is like, run!
Run away!
So we all get out, and we kind of let the gas kind of dissipate for over an hour until Carter just can't stand away any longer, and he goes back in. And the coast is clear, so we all follow him down.
Yep.
And there's a big sarcophagus in the middle of the second chamber.
Then, like, I get super excited because they really built
the tension toward it. And there was like a really ornate sarcophagus, and we all get up there, and they're like, 3, 2, 1, push! And we all groan and shove the lid to the side. And T.E. Lawrence is like, my God, it's Amenhotep. Exactly who they thought it would be. So, no surprise there. Maybe we would have had better luck in the Valley of the Kings.
Maybe. Who knows?
We won't.
But after we discover Amenhotep, Mrs. Seymour says...
Like, on the dot, we hear her voice from outside of the tomb. And she's
time
like...
Time to
get back to your parents! And we're like, alright, well... Guess we'll see you later, T.E. Bye, Mr. Carter. Thanks for letting us hang out. He's like, hey, man, till next time. We're like, cool beans, man. And we go back toward our parents with Miss Seymour, ready to go on many more adventures and having had quite the time on this particular journey.
Yeah.
So...
The end.
I mean, really, we found a great ending. I feel like we found probably one of the best ones that is in this book.
Probably.
I mean, we...
Of the, like, four endings in this book, we...
Yeah.
Definitely...
Yeah.
Read one of them.
It definitely doesn't say how many endings there are, but...
I'm just...
Probably not that
count
many. Yeah.
Real quick.
We're just... Chad's gonna flip through and find out how many different endings...
I'm not reading any of it.
Just because he's that curious...
curious.
Is that what I said? Did I say curious?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you did. Anyway, there's not very many. Like, I've flipped through half the book and saw one.
Yeah. So, like, I probably read 3/4 of this book.
Oh, at least.
Chad didn't help me one bit. I read everything.
It was your present, man. I didn't want to take that away from you.
Thanks. Thanks. Thanks, Chad. I really, really appreciate that.
What kind of Indian giver would I be if I, you know, gave you a gift and then I read it? Like, hey, here's the new Harry Potter book, Eric. Oh, hey, P.S. I'm gonna need to borrow that before you even have a chance and read it.
Yeah, but we're here together, Chad. I could have sat here and listened to you read it just as easily as I read it myself. But you know what? That's fine. I know that I read it to the best of my abilities.
You did a beautiful
job. And it was a
job.
Wonderful, wonderful story that I will probably not pick up again for a very long time. But
I flipped through. I didn't see.
So there were not
endings.
Very many endings. We found a great one. And now we can say we have read a young Indiana Jones Choose Your Own Adventure book. And what an interesting experience it was. I don't think it was quite as exciting as either of us were hoping. But I guess...
It could have been more exciting.
What do you expect from a very young Indiana Jones story? I mean, I guess you don't want... People are ripping people's hearts out when you're 10 years old and reading about it.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Also, my mom wouldn't let me watch Temple of Doom until I was like a teenager.
Wow.
Like, I didn't see that movie till I was probably like 15. of my own accord, because I was like, I feel like I'm missing out, you know? And that's really when my whole obsession kind of began. So, yeah, there. I don't know why I shared that, but there it is. Indiana Jones. I love it. I love it to death. Chad, thank you so much again for getting this book.
Not a problem.
Maybe you didn't enjoy it. I certainly did, even though I'm tired of speaking.
There are more of these kinds of books where they, like, adapted, like, movies or other...
Well, this is number one.
Screenplay. Oh, yeah. I got them in order in case we liked them and wanted to get the rest. I didn't want to loop ahead.
Oh, Chad, we've made a huge mistake, buddy.
What?
The title of this book was The Valley of the Kings.
We should have gone to the Valley of the Kings. We should have
gone out there and searched The Valley of the Kings.
It's been so long, I didn't even get there till this half.
We had a two-hour podcast session before that didn't even get us to the title of the book, bro.
We didn't even get there.
Oh, my God.
Instead, we're like, I don't know, let's stay with the Carter
Fire. Oh, shit. Well...
Okay, but, you know, there's... So, I think this isn't, like, a part of our normal, like, canonical episode list.
We'll definitely
likely release this as a special release.
This is it,
And there's more of these kind of books. So, like, there's more Young Indiana Jones books. There's some Star Wars Choose Your Own Adventures. There's Goosebumps Choose Your Own Adventure.
Are there really?
Yep. So maybe from time to time, we will locate and do more of these special episodes.
Nice.
So, look forward to it. Maybe?
Maybe. I mean, if you enjoyed this
like,
one.
I'll look forward to listening to this edited because I literally wanted to die listening to the book being read. But maybe we were funny and maybe it's still a good podcast.
I think there's something that we can salvage out of 2 hours and 40 minutes.
In our 2 hours and 40 minutes of record time, we have managed to get a 30-minute podcast.
I bet we have more than that. Oh, ye of little faith. Hey, folks, we'll catch you later. Thanks for listening. We really do appreciate you. And thank you for listening to our special Indiana Jones Chronicles of the Young Variety, Valley of the Kings. We'll catch you later, folks, when we're back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Did they teach us how to say goodbye in Egyptian?
Nope. But they did teach us how to say goodbye in The Sound of Music.
They did?
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Farewell.
I've been like saying goodbye. Adieu to you and you.
Yeah, that was it.
That'll work.
We got one of the kids anyway. Adieu to you and you. And don't forget about you. So long, farewell.
Goodbye.